But we're going to take our Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes. It's in the Old Testament. It's not a very well-known book, but I love Ecclesiastes. I probably end up quoting Ecclesiastes probably more in my normal talking than, or just debating people, than normal times, because there's so many awesome nuggets in that book. You'd be surprised, you know, for instance, there's just parts of, you ever hear like the older crowd go, "Ah, the old days were so much better than now." Do you know that verse is in the Bible? In Ecclesiastes, did you know that? That it says, it's in, I believe, chapter 7, verse 10, it says, Say not thou. What is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. So be careful the older you get when you start saying, "Well, it was so much better now and it's so bad now." Well, the Bible addresses that and said, "Why do you do that? That's not wise." Because, guess what? There's always problems. Amen? And it's, I mean, could you imagine what they said in World War II? "Oh, it was so bad. It's never, you know, it was so much easier. Now it's..." Just be careful, because I'm in that middle generation. I'm hearing the older generation talk about this as the end of the world because of this pestilence. And it's never been as bad as it's ever been. And the fewer days were really good. And now it's the end. Well, they said that in World War I, World War II. They said it in Vietnam. They said it everywhere. It'll never get worse than it is right now. But unfortunately, it will get worse. And unfortunately, time will go on if God doesn't show up. Amen? So I'm just saying, there's just so many nuggets in Ecclesiastes, because I'll hear people talk about the glory days. You know how they always be like, "Yeah, when I was in high school, I used to throw a football like 50 yards." You know, and I'm like, and they glorify the past. Don't glorify the past, because you'll just live in the past and you will forget the present and the future. Amen? But we're not even going there. We're going to go to Ecclesiastes 4. This is giving you plenty of time to get to the book of Ecclesiastes. Hope you're there. And Noah, if you could help me out, just grab that whole tote, bring it in, all 50 pounds of it. Hope you're strong enough. Verse 12. Well, that's the end of it. We'll start in verse 7. We're going to go from verse 7 to verse 12. We'll start in verse 7 of chapter 4 of Ecclesiastes. It says in verse 7, "Then I returned and I saw vanity under the sun," which is pretty much saying, "And I saw emptiness under the sun." It says verse 8, "There is one alone and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother. Yet is there no end of all his labor, neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity. Yea, it is a sore travail." Verse 2, "There are better..." You can put it right in the front. There are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. Verse 10, "For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth. For he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone?" And verse 12 will end with this verse. "And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." And let's pray at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, we just love you. We thank you. We just thank you for the Word of God. Over 7 billion people on this earth. Probably only one third of them really have a Bible or even saw one or read one. Dear Lord, we're so privileged and we're so honored to have your word. I thank you that I do not have to guess how to live my life. I thank you that I don't have to make it up and just go along life and just hope that I'm making the right decision. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your guidance. I thank you for the good decision making that we have in our Bible. Dear Lord, you've been so good to us in so many different ways. And we just give you all the praise and honor. Pray you give me the right words to say. even though we could probably spend a little more time preparing this, but dear Lord, you know what you want me to say and what we need to hear. And we just give you all the honor and praise and glory, and we thank all these things in your name. Amen. One thing today, lately, I don't know about you, but I go through Hamburg a lot. And every time, anybody ever go through Hamburg about 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock a.m.? Anybody? Okay, I see a few. Is it me, or have you ever noticed how many people are running and jogging? I mean, I see like 70, 60, 50, 40s, and I'm sitting there going, yeah, I probably should do that. You know? But I've seen so many people do it. And I noticed even the other day, yesterday, I think I was going through Hamburg, and I saw a whole entire, they were doing fitness outside. I guess you can't do it inside, so they did it outside. And I noticed one thing, the older you get, exercise, yes. When you're young, you don't need to exercise. You really don't that much. But the older you get, the more you realize your cardio, certain muscles, you don't do anything with it. You wake up in the morning, you're like, why can't I move? You know, you're like, you're trying to like get out of the bed like, okay, now there we go. You know, and some of you young people have no idea what I'm talking about, but wait till you get 40s and 50s and 60s. And, you know, on my side of the family, all my grandmothers almost lived to 100, 97, 96. And they were healthy. Most of them did not even go to a nursing home. They stayed at home and died, you know, at home. So they were very physical fit. But one thing I noticed about them, they were always walking. They were always exercising. They were always strengthening themselves. You'll see where this is going. I see a lot of people now, and I notice it is a good trend. It is a good trend. You notice how people are like, you want to get organic food. Justin Dye always says, what is that, non-alien food? That's what he calls it. He goes, everything's organic. I know, even chemicals are organic, you know. But we are definitely getting healthier, which I like it. I mean, it's neat. You see more emphasis on physical things. And we do need to strengthen ourselves. Because I will say this before we get into the sermon. You can only serve God with the health you have. Let me say it again. We can only serve God with the health that we have. Because when you start losing your health, there's a lot of things you wish you could do for God, but you can't. There's many times you say, man, when I was younger, I wish I would have done more. Or you get older and say, boy, I would love to do more, but it's just my health isn't the way it is. You can only do what you can for God with the health that you have. And that is not God's fault if we can't serve God because of our health. Some of it, you know, it's not, none of it's God's health. Or God's fault. Some of it's just that we live in a cursed land. You get cancer, you get other things. Sometimes it's our own fault because we don't take care of ourselves. But a lot of times we just don't strengthen ourselves correctly. Now, we talk about it in a physical realm. In the spiritual realm, it is no different. I've seen that this should not be the case. This should not be the case that the older you get in the Lord, the more bitter you become. Why is it? Because you're not strengthening yourself or getting stronger as you get older. You're getting weaker as you get older. Do you understand what I'm saying? It should not be the case of a Christian where we have to teach you, oh, I've been in the Lord for 20 years and we have to teach you good character. You shouldn't be doing that. You should be honest. You should be trustworthy. Why do we have to? I struggle with those things. Because you're not strengthening yourself. One thing I like about this passage, most people use it for a lot of different things, but there's strength. Number one, there's strength in number. If you notice in verse 7, and you go back there, verse 7 it says, then I returned and I saw vanity under the sun. He said, this is just emptiness. This is Solomon, which is at the end of his life. He's had 700 wives, 300 concubines, 700 mother-in-laws. That just wore him down, okay? At the end of his life, all he talks about is vanity. And I know that's because he had 700 mother-in-laws. Because everything's empty. You know, no, I have an awesome mother-in-law. She's in church here in the back. I have no problems. Well, she might have problems with me, but I've never had problems with her. No. But there's strength in numbers, because one thing I noticed, verse 8, what is the first phrase? There is one alone. I've noticed a lot of people go through the Christian life alone. By themselves. They don't have, and if you notice, it says not even, yea, he hath neither child or brother. He has no heir. Yet there's no end of all his labor. He has no reason to work. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches, which means he has no self-control. And he's all alone. Here's the worst thing I've noticed. And we're just getting started. But if you want to be strong in the Lord, you cannot do this alone. I think too many people think, I read my Bible, I pray, I go to church, I'm fine. That's why a lot of people have no problem not going to church. Because they don't want to be around people. They'd rather just be alone, leave me alone, leave me in my Bible, let me pray, let me never talk to anybody, let me just be alone. Leave me alone. But the Bible is opposite of that. Weak people are alone. Weak people are alone. You heard Pastor Cole say it last week. He said the ministry is great if it wasn't for the people. You remember that? You know, Western New York's great except for the people. You know what I mean? Hey, people are hard to work with. People, I mean, if it wasn't for people, the earth would be great. You know? But you have to constantly put up with people that do wrong things to you, say wrong things to you, hard work. You yourself do the wrong thing, or say the wrong thing, or do the wrong thing, or wrong decision, and you're caught like, oh, why did I put myself in this hole? And you're constantly like, oh, and you feel alone. Let me tell you, to be strong, and this is just where it starts, to be strong spiritually, do not go through the Christian life alone. Some of you have never prayed with someone besides yourself. Some of you have never discipled someone besides discipling yourself. Some of you have never given the gospel out to someone because you've never even attempted to do it because you're doing everything alone. Your life is about you, and I'm glad it's about God too. But God did not put us on this earth to be alone and die alone. There's worse thing in the world is to go to a funeral when there's four people there. And I've been in so many that you're just like, wow, at the end of your life, there's just a few handful of people. Now, I understand you sometimes can outlive your own. I mean, if anybody remembers Charles Gould? Remember? Okay, he lived to be 97. We actually, when we first came here in the 90s, we were in his house and helping reconstruct it. But, I mean, he outlived his wife, his kids, and his cousins, everyone. So at the end of his life, there was no one left alive. You know, I understand that. But most of the time, the reason why most people don't have people at their funerals is because they just live their life alone. I have probably been saying this more than I should, but Christians don't make friends anymore. I just said this a couple weeks ago, and the person's in this room, and I said, you know, the sad part is, I said, you know, we don't know anybody outside of the church and our family, and that's all we know. We don't even know how to reach the world anymore because we don't touch it. We're alone. We don't have a clue. We go to work, and we barely know those people, and we go home, and then we go to church, and then we go back home, and then we go back to work, and then we go, and we're not even reaching anybody. We don't even know how to because we don't even know how to make friends. And I even noticed that the best thing I think that happened this year was COVID. And I'm not kidding. Because it shut down pretty much like four or five ministries that I get involved with. And I find myself going, I have to keep myself busy, even though I can't go to the nursing home. I can't do that. I can't, because the regulations go down. So I took it on myself. I'm going to just start helping people. And when I started doing that, wow, has that opened up opportunities to give the gospel to people. I mean, a lot of it is just taking down trees and more trees and more trees. And it all started with, it was just a fun little thing, I think, in April where I was with my brother-in-law, Guy. I'm so glad he had to work this morning so I can use him for an example. Because he would never like this. He doesn't like his name being said. So I'm just working with him, taking out rocks. And by the time, I think, as of yesterday, we took down 25 trees in his house. And some of them were 90 feet tall. But in that process, his neighbors would come over. And they're like, hey, can you help me do this? And then we would. And then we'd give him a track, and someone like, hey, can you pray for me? I'm going through a divorce. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And then before I know it, I'm sitting back going, if I didn't have COVID, I probably wouldn't even be reaching out to these people because I'd be so busy with my alone status. You know, I go here, go here, go there, go there, go there. And that's it. We don't reach out to our neighbors. We don't reach out to hardly anything anymore. I mean, COVID's probably made it a little harder now, you notice. Because you're scared to death. You're like, why? I have neighbors that are like, you can only go this far. They're like, stay where you are. Stay where you are. And I'm going, okay, okay, okay. You know, I understand they're fearful. So I just stay away kind of idea. I get that. And I understand COVID is a real thing. But it also, after it's said and done, even when COVID might pass into, you know, just like the swine flu and all the other things, this is going to pass into the, you know, the whole history of what it did and blah, blah, blah. I think we're going to have remnants of, don't get close to me. Don't get, because I can already see it happening where people just don't want to be close to people. They want to be alone. But I'm telling you, that is probably one of the worst things you can do to yourself is be alone. Being alone puts you in bad predicaments. Here's the worst thing. Let me throw out some things that will help some, especially some of you younger people and even you younger couples. The worst thing you can be is put yourself in a lone position because as soon as someone accuses you, guess what? You have no alibis of any kind. I mean, just watch politics. Look how they're accusing each other of everything. Do you notice that? And then as soon as one side goes, well, no, they were with me, and there was 10 other people that said, I didn't say that. You've seen that with Trump. You've seen it with Biden. They're just going to do this all day until November, okay? But you notice the only ones that actually can refute anything they say is because they're with people. The problem is when you become alone and you start doing things alone, people can accuse you of wrong things and you have no way to defend yourself. Just as a bit of defense, I've been called old-fashioned like crazy, but being a camp director, working with youth, working with people, I've never been accused of anything. Because even if people try to accuse me of something, I always have someone else with me. I always do. Because I've learned working with people, people are out to get you sometimes, especially if you're a pastor. Because you just have a bullseye on your back. And I've had a lot of people accuse me of a lot of things, but none of it sticks because there's always alibis. If you want to live your life peaceful, don't live yourself. Don't live alone. Always have people with you. Always, when you do things, never be alone. If you're a guy, I understand the workforce sometimes it is, but don't be alone with women. Or women, don't be alone with men. I'm just telling you, it just takes one accusation and you could lose everything. I mean, if there's some things you can't do, I understand that in the business. But most of the time, we can choose what we do and how we do it. Don't put yourself in a predicament because you will be in accusations. You'll have slandering when you're alone. Number one, did you realize addiction's at the most all-time high, mostly because of COVID and a lot of other stats coming in because people can't reach out. And so they say now it's probably the highest they've ever seen in addictions and things like that. Do you realize at this point in history that when you start getting away from society, you get away from things and you start becoming alone? Do you know that is you're the most receptive or it's the easiest for you to become addictive. There is more addictions probably in this room than I would like to know, but God knows. But most of the addictions we have, it could be porn, it could be anything. It could be eating, it could be gaming, it could be electronic, it could be anything. But a lot of it is because the only reason we get into things we shouldn't, because we are alone. And there's no one to stop us. And there's one thing about the sin nature, it will take you much farther than you'll ever want to go. And that's why God said immediately, and we're only to one verse where he said, it's pretty much only saying, I pity you if you be alone. Now, I understand sometimes when we're alone, but make friends, amen? Get people that will keep you accountable. Get people, get your wife, get your friends, get your neighbors, get a good Christian brother. Don't go through life alone. Addictions, it's killing us. I'm not an advocate for a lot of books, but this right here is called Glow Kids. This is not for kids, okay? This actually goes through the addictions that is now going through America called the digital age and how kids are addicted, and I mean addicted to cell phones. If you think I'm kidding, go up and watch kids with their parents. Watch the parents try to take away a phone and literally the kid have a temper tantrum because you took away his phone. This is not written by someone that is a Christian. This is written from an addiction expert, Dr. Nicholas Cardaris. He goes through, and this is just written. I have to throw this in here because I keep running into it, and it scares me now because I have too many parents that are putting a phone and a tablet in front of the kid's face and think that's the best babysitter in the world, but that is just making them full-blown addictions. And this book is for mature people because it actually has stories of kids killing their parents when they took away their phones. Many of them. We're talking pastors. There's one pastor in here where he took away, and as they were watching TV, the kid came from behind and shot both of them because he took away his gaming system. We are addicted more than you think. If you think I'm kidding, just go to the grocery store, go to the restaurant. Watch what people do when they have nothing else to do. What do they do? What do they turn to? They're addicted to digital. It's called digital heroin is what they call it in this book. He even gets on the United States government and says you have no right to throw electronics to a kindergartner when he doesn't know how to read or write, but he knows how to use a tablet and everything else. He said, no other country does that, just America. And that started in the year 2000. And I wonder why there's a bunch of kids that can burn and laugh and swear at you and riot and have no qualms about it. You know why? It's this. And he actually proves the point. And this is a 2015-16 book. He proves the point how violent we are because of the gaming we do and the gaming these kids do, and it programs you to be violent. America's not violent at all. I don't think the younger generation is violent at all. Do you think that? I'm being sarcastic. Okay? I've never seen in my lifetime kids that have no conscience. And he actually talks about it. I read this like last year, actually almost 2 years ago, parts of it. And I thought, oh, this is ridiculous. Now after seeing all the writers, I went, oh, that is the generation that was born on this stuff, born on this digital junk. And they call it digital heroin. This is for mature, but I'm telling you, I have four of them. I will gladly give you one if your kid has problems with it. I'm serious. I'll tell you where you can get one. You need to read this. I have to go up to parents all the time because they're like, oh, my kid's like crazy and all this. I said, you can't entertain them 24/7. Sometimes it's good for them to sit down and play with their hands. Play with something physically. Well, I don't know, I'm just too busy. Then you're too busy, period. Parent your child. Don't let the digital world parent them, because what we're doing is we're turning them into blown addicts at age 3. He even has proof of it. He did the research. And I'm just throwing that out there. It's not a Christian book. There's subjects in there that will scare you half to death, and they're mature reading because he gets into what kids have done to their parents. You know, like kids just going at their parents and shooting them because they got rid of their PlayStation. Some kids would play I thought I was kidding, but I have a neighbor that is a teacher. And I told her about the subject, and she goes, these kids are sleeping because they've been up all night on their tablets and phones that their parents will not regulate. They said, I can't even teach them because they're just like falling asleep because they're so tired because they can't get off their phones. They can't get off their gaming system. They're that addicted. We're talking third, fourth, and I just ran into another teacher that's a works for BOCES over in Lakeshore. He's, you know, a friend that we helped take down a tree, you know. And he started getting, he wants that book. He's like, I got to get that because I'm a third grade teacher and I'm telling you, there's something wrong with these kids. The way they think and they're tired all the time. And that's one of the first things it says. It has a little checklist. Is your kid this? Does he do this? Does he do this? You better look into it because he's probably addicted. Just like you're addicted to heroin, just like you're addicted to porn, just like anything else, he's addicted to the digital world. Because you ever heard of dope? You ever heard, remember the old word dope? That comes from the word dopamine. When you eat, it gives you so many it makes you enjoy things. You understand what I mean? There's so much dopamine that your body gives you when you eat. This is a mature thing that I'm going to say, but I don't even know how to say it. There's some younger people here. You're going to have to talk to your parents later. I'm sorry I'm going to have to say this. But there's a thing called physical intercourse that gives so much dopamine in your mind. Guess what is just as equal? Guess what it is? And they say scientifically it's equal. Playing a game on a digital scale is the same dopamine just flood that comes as much as physical intercourse. The pleasure that comes from that is the same pleasure and the same dopamine flooding that comes from playing a video game. Do you think that is dangerous? Why do you think they can't get off the game? Why? You know why? Because when you take drugs, dopamine floods your body with excitement. When you take heroin, when you take cocaine, dopamine just floods your body. And you're like, oh, this is awesome. That's why they're addicted to it. Dopamine keeps them. That's where you get the word, oh, that's dope. Because that's what it is. It's that hormone brings it into your body. But there's a lot of things that do it. The low grade of dopamine is eating. You know how you eat food and you're just like, oh, that's just enjoyable. Well, that's your body producing the hormone. But it gets worse. I'm just saying, don't do things alone. I'm fed up to hear with parents that just think it's okay to just give them stuff and not even think what they're doing. I used to be yelled and screamed at like I'm a military man because why don't you let your kids do this? Why? I said, when they're good and ready, I will let them. When they're 18 and they can pay for their own phone and pay for their own usage, then they can get their own phone. But until then, they're going to play with a stick and a rock and a tire. I don't care. You know what I mean? I'm just saying you need to get off that digital. I'm telling you, it's digital heroin. We have a generation that doesn't know how to do one thing. Hardly anything. I shouldn't say that. We have a generation that barely knows how to work. If you think I'm kidding, talk to all the older people that are managers. They have so many kids come in and they realize they can't work. 20-year-olds, 21, 22. Like, what is with you? The kid can't even work. You know why? He grew up on this. He doesn't know how to do anything else. Okay? The problem is you're going to see in the end of verse 4, around verse, I believe, verse 10, it says, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth. That's the problem. We're alone. See, at least one friend, in verse 9, you notice it says two are better than one. We'll go through this faster. Hey, it's good to have a friend. He's saying, hey, better than being alone, get a friend. Two is better than one. Hey, iron sharpeneth iron. And I'm not saying, some of you think that you have a friend because he's a friend of Facebook. That is not true. Or I have friends on Instagram. That is not true. I'm talking human interaction. It's so sad that I have to say this. Because many people that I talk to say, I have a lot of friends. But then why are you so depressed and you talk about you have no friends? Well, I have 300 on Facebook. It still makes you depressed when you go home and you have no one to talk to. Because you don't know how to make friends. You don't even know how to make one friend. Because you're addicted to what everyone else is doing and you can't do anything physically. You don't even know how to interact with someone else. I'm telling you, I'm going to pick on Jaden. But Jaden's 13 years old. He is in a generation that we are going to watch very, very closely because they know nothing but the phones and everything else. I'm telling you, we've just started with this generation that's all they've ever known. Yeah, I know. I know he doesn't. That's why I'm picking on him. No. No. I only pick on him because I give him books to read. That is what you want. Read. Okay? The guy is a readaholic. I can't give him enough books. I give him one book, 450 pages, and he's like, I read it last night. I'm like, you know, that's one thing to get mad at. Like, oh, that's, oh! You know, like, I can't believe he reads that much. That doesn't happen. But verse 12, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, but a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Three cords is probably the biggest thing in life. I've seen many people do a lot of things. Just don't live life alone. Find a friend. I think the best friend you ever can find in the world is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Even if there's no human friend, I know I have the best friend that I can tell all my needs. I can cry to him. I can pray to him. He answers me. Not physically. I'm not schizophrenic. I have to say that because I've had people go up to me and say, God tells me to do this. And I said, what God told you to do is against the Bible. That's schizophrenia. Okay? He doesn't physically do that. But he speaks to me through the Bible. Amen? And that's how he speaks to me. I read the Bible and go, amen. I'm glad I read that. I'm glad I learned that. But when you have three friends, and I've just put it in this way. If you had God, think about it. What's the three main things you would say? God, family, and friends. If you had those three things in good order, it would be very hard to fall. If you were close to God, you think God would convict you to get it back up? If you're just full of yourself and you fall, what does the Bible just say? Woe to him that what? Falleth when he's alone. Because no man will pick you up. Nobody. Fortunately, a lot of times I do fall. But if I'm close to God, who convicts me? God does. He gets all over me. Seth, you idiot. You can't quit what you're doing. Oh, I know. I'll go to the office in the morning. I will do winter camp one more time. Just one more time. I'll do summer camp. You know, because if you had to put up with... I mean, it's one thing to have like a family of four kids. But when you end up doing winter camp with like, you know, 100 kids at the same time, you feel like, this is the last time I ever do this. No. Never again. No. But then, you know, 2 days later, you repent. God convicts me. And I said, yes, let's do it even better next year. I'm sure Pastor Crone's the same way every summer. You know, like, I'm just wiped out. You know, and then even the stuff we do. But if I fall and I'm close to God, if you don't get anything else, get this. Get close to God. He will convict you. He will bring you back up. Some of you, you have families. Some of you don't have families. But if you do have family, even if they're unsaved, one thing I've noticed is we have the loss of family. Family is a mess. There is no closeness anymore. There used to be a day when mom and dad would respect parents. Mom and dad would be respected by their kids, but not much anymore. I watched my neighbor kids just swear at their parents, call them the F word constantly, and I just like go, okay. You know, like, but that's just the norm now. I brought an experiment. I might go a little longer. Okay, John, could you come over here? We have ropes. Three, everybody knows the strongest thing in the world are ropes, right? Amen? So here we go. Noah, I think I have enough for everybody. Here you go. Noah, come on up. Take this one. Let's see, next in order. Tyler, come over here. Take this one. One last one. The biggest rope, but the biggest man. Ian, come on over here. Okay, rope is strong. Why is rope strong? I think it weighs like 20 pounds, so can you hold it? You okay? No, I'm just kidding. I could get Malachi to hold this, but he would probably be like, Dad, it's just a pulley. You know, so we'll leave it over here. Three, did you notice it said a three cord is not easily to break? I just want you guys to guess. We probably, in the last couple months, probably taken 20-some trees down. Joe Hazlett is the expert. I am not the expert. But I probably pulled down, I think, the estimate of a 40,000-pound tree. We just did that last Saturday. It only works with the strongest rope that you're pulling it down with. Here's the problem. There are four ropes here. Anybody want to guess which one is the strongest? This is the thickest. That's like an inch thick. This is about a half inch thick. This is 3/8 thick. This is really thin, but it's just wide. Anybody want to guess what is the strongest of all of them? Which one? The white one? Anybody in favor of the white? Raise your hand. Come on, it's okay to vote. Only two of you. Okay. Wow. I wish I had a prize for you two. Throwing in a hint. Who thinks this is the strongest one? 1 inch thick. Wow. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay. Who thinks this is the thickest? It's the thinnest. Anybody for this one? It's the thinnest one. 1, 2. He's a construction man. He knows what this is. This is a hybrid. And if I told you what it is, you're going to, so 2 on that one. And what about this one? Anybody want to guess? You can pull a car with it, maybe. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, the least is this one. It only has a rating of 500 pounds. Maybe 1,000 at best. We have this at our winter camp, and the teens broke it. Next, this one. It's only 4,000 pound rating. Even though it looks cool, I broke it twice just last week. Pulling down a tree. This is the thinnest, but it's a hybrid. This does 12,000 pounds. And it's only 3/8 inch thick. And you can buy it at Harbor Freight. No. For cheapest of all, 12,000 pounds. You can sit down. Thank you. We're going to end with this. Just because of what it looks like doesn't mean anything. Because a lot of you said that looks thick, so that must be the best. It's not. A lot of times we can put on a show, but we're not close to God. We're not close to our family, and we have no friends. And then all of a sudden when problems come, we are scattered and gone. We fall, and there's no one there to pick you up because you really are not good at making friends, you're not good with your family, and you're not good with God. But I'm telling you, you can get strength. This one is so strong. It's 12,000, and there's nothing in the inside. Look at that. But it's made out of a polymetal kind of idea. So you can... But this is actually number one. That's 12,000 pounds. This is 20,000 pound rating. This can haul... You could pick up a bulldozer with this if you wanted to. We know it's 20,000 pounds because Zach... Where is Zach? Personally tested it, and it broke at 20,000 pounds. So I pulled down probably a 40,000-pound tree with it, but that's because you're pulling it down. I just wanted to throw this in here. I can take this. This is just a simple little 3,000-pound pulley, but I can turn this 12,000 into 24,000 pole because once you put it on that pole, that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying this to say this. I can get extra tools and make it stronger. You know where I'm going with this. See, the problem is, we've been, for years, pastor's been preaching. For years, I've been trying to teach and preach and help and counsel and whatever we can and give you tools to be better and to be stronger. But we don't even sometimes even take any of the tools. Mike O'Meara, it's hilarious. I mean, he'll talk about financial this and that, but most of the people I know are in financial burden, but they don't want to talk about it. Neither do they want to take a tool and say, let's get better at this. A lot of times we just say, it's okay. I mean, I was just at my mother-in-law's taking down a cherry tree. Now, I did it properly, and we did it properly the way you should have. You know, you cut it, make the hinge and everything else. But that 4,000-pound rope was strained after taking a 90-foot dead ash tree down. It probably had some internal things that I did not know happened because you can't see it. When the strain gets so bad, the innards actually break, you don't know. I took down a simple 40-foot cherry tree, and as we're pulling it, and I have a 12,000-pound winch, Malachi's just doing like that, and the rope breaks, and the tree literally goes like this and bounces backwards. Because I had a hinge, it just stayed in place. Had no problem. I did not know it was weak. And then we tried to take, that was the second time that day that it broke. And I'm like, I think I have to retire that rope. I think that rope cannot pull anything anymore. Yet it's 4,000-pound rating, but the rating probably now is 100 pounds, and that's probably about it, and it breaks. Here's the thing. Some of you already know you're in messes. You know you're weak in areas. No one can see it. It's internal. I think we're all there. I think I'm there. You have to be careful. All of a sudden, we become involved in addictions. We get involved in slander and all this other stuff. And before you know it, instead of seeking help and being strong like a three chord, we walk away and say, no, I'll do this on my own. And we don't even pray to God. We don't even get close to God. If anything, I've seen this, walk away from your family. Well, I just don't want the family to know what I'm going through, so I'm just going to walk away from them too. And then our good friends, we just walk away from them. And then when the strain of life really gets them, what happens? They snap. I've seen it over and over and over again. Where they thought I would never be divorced, or I would never have a kid do this, or never get through this, I never knew I would be addicted to this, or I never thought I would have that. They didn't realize they were walking away from everything that was precious. If I could just get this across to you, you're only as strong as the rope that is holding you. Some of us need to strengthen and strengthen ourselves. Going to church is not going to strengthen you. Getting to Word will. Making friends will. Being close to God will. Getting close to your family will. Do you understand what I'm saying? But yet, we wonder I'm so weak. Because we're not really strengthening ourselves the way we should be strengthening ourselves. Do you understand what I'm saying? Take this to heart. I'm not trying to yell at you or scream at you or anything else. And take the tools. I could take that rope and turn it into more than this rope. Only with a simple tool. God's given us so many tools and so many friends to help us through this life to get through things. But yet, we don't even ask. Yet, we don't even become friends with people to help us. Hey, we're here for each other. Amen? The best friends you can ever have in the world are in this room. Because they're Christians, and they should be. Some of you, maybe you're not Christians. I hope you all are. And it's simple to get saved. But I want you to understand, this is what life is all about, is each other and God. Let's all